new trees, that is, leaves, grass is growing, flowers are growing, pollen is falling. But thank God for springtime. I've got a message burning on my heart, beloved, and I want you to know I love you, and I'm preaching to myself today. But I just believe this is, no doubt, God put it on my heart for us as a church and us as a nation. The title of the message today is this, Time for Spring Cleaning. How many believe in spring cleaning? Time for spring cleaning. What would you think if I said, I've got this cup right here, and it's clean on the outside, but the inside it has bugs in it, and it's got dirt in it, and it's got some other stuff in it, but the outside's clean, but the inside's dirty. Should I drink out of it? Should I use it? Of course not. We can make the outside clean, but not really clean the inside. And I think God wants us to do a little spring cleaning today. It's time for spring cleaning. I don't know what your spring cleaning is, but I know what my spring cleaning is, spiritually speaking. You know what? Some of us have got our priorities in the wrong place, don't we? Jesus ought to be number one in your life. Not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth, not after sports, not after money, not after jobs, not after family. Jesus demands to be number one. But some of us, we got our priorities out of line. And that's why we need some good spring cleaning. Jesus said it this way. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, not second, not third. Tell me, have you put the Lord first in your life? Is he just on the back burner, or is he really number one? Have you put your job before him? You see, the Bible teaches, and the Lord said himself, we're to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. He deserves to be number one in our life. There's some priorities that are out of place. You know what else? The reason I know we need some spring cleaning is because not our priorities out of the wrong place and out of whack, but we lose focus of our purpose in life. And some of you lost focus of your purpose in life. You think it's just to go to work and go home, and that's it. You think it's just to retire, and that's it. You think it's just to do this, and we lose our purpose in life. I want to you to know, brother and sister, God's got a purpose for you and for you and for you. And it's not just to go home and make ends meet and not just to go through the motions and live this life. It's to glorify the Lord. It's to be used of God, and God is wanting to use you, my brother. I know you don't feel worthy, and I don't feel worthy, but listen to me. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Have you lost your purpose in life? It's not to make a name for yourself. It's to live to glorify the living God. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether we eat or drink, whatsoever we do, do it all to the glory of God. Are you fulfilling your God-given purpose? Life only comes around once, and we've got one shot at this thing. And I don't know if you ever have to evaluate your life and say, Lord, am I fulfilling your purpose for my life? Am I yielding myself to you? We see we get our purposes all out of focus, and that's why we need a good spring cleaning. And sometimes we walk in the flesh instead of the spirit, and that's why we need a good spring cleaning. We're reacting in the flesh, and we're responding in the flesh, and everything that's going on around us. But Paul reminded us by the Spirit of God, we're to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts us against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And so often we get angry and mad, and we got bad attitudes, and we complain and murmur because we're walking in the flesh instead of the Spirit. And that's why we need a good old-fashioned spring cleaning. Lord, we need a spring cleaning. You know, springtime is a time when we change our clothing. How many know what I'm talking about? I believe our daughter has a pair of shoes for every day of the week, amen? I mean, we change our clothing. We don't wear coats anymore. It's not wintertime, but we might have some more colder weather, amen? But we take off our winter coats and our winter clothes, and we put on some new spring clothes. And so, listen, Paul said this. He said in Ephesians 4, verse 22 and 24, he said, put off the old man and put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and in true holiness. I know we need a spring cleaning because there's some stuff we need to put off. Lust and lust of the flesh, love for the world, and living for self, not taking up a cross, following Jesus. I'm telling you, we need a good old-fashioned spring cleaning in our hearts. And I believe the Lord wants us to do some spring cleaning today. You know why? So often, now listen, I'm just as caught up in this as you are, beloved. That's why I'm preaching this. I'm preaching it to myself. You know what I've noticed about myself? It's easy for me to just kind of get out of focus and just kind of go through the motions and just kind of exist and not really have a heart for God and not really have a heartbeat for truth and not really be concerned about the lost and not really be passionate about prayer and fervent about the Word of God. It's easy for me to just get in this world like you, and you go to your job or you got your problems, and we all have them. And that's why I need a good old-fashioned spring cleaning. And some of us need to do some spring cleaning this morning. I believe God is going to bless you. I believe God is going to take you to another level you've never been before. I believe the Lord can do greater things in your life, and they're greater giants that God can kill through you as we do business with God and as we do really spiritual cleaning, a spring cleaning. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with not half of your heart, not with three quarters of your heart, not with just a little part of your heart. Trust in Him with all of your heart. Tell me, are you trusting the Lord? So often, we really don't put faith and trust in God. And we can tell we don't, because when we have a problem, all of a sudden, we realize, what are we going to do? I'm caught off guard. I don't know if I can trust God through this or not. And all of a sudden, God gets our attention, and we realize that we hadn't really been exercising faith in God. We say we have. And the Word teaches that we take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient is the day thereof. You see, we need an old-fashioned revival, bottom line. Amen. We got to have a mighty move of God in these days, in our nation and in our churches and in our community. I'm desperate, God. I'm desperate for a heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival. God, we got to have it. Nothing else will suffice. Nothing else. Hey, how many believe that we are in trouble in this nation? We are in a mess, and it's not going to be fixed at the White House, and it's not going to be fixed at the courthouse or the schoolhouse. It's going to be fixed first, I believe, at the church house and at your house and at my house. We need a good old-fashioned spring cleaning. Why? Here's why. You know what? Here, I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself, but I'm preaching to you too. Hear me now. Here's why. Because we get caught up in this covetousness. We get caught up in this materialism. And we get caught up in all of this stuff. We feel like we got to have more stuff. And we got to keep up with everybody and keep up all our stuff. And here's what happens. I've noticed this. We got to get this and got to get this, and we need more material possessions just to make us happy. Hello, to make us happy. Well, why can't the joy of the Lord make us happy? Well, we got to keep up with this and the latest thing this, and here's what the problem is. Then we got to go out and get two and three jobs to pay for it. And this is what I'm seeing with a lot of our men, a lot of our people. Then they're working on Sunday, and I know some people have to work on Sunday, but it gets them out of the serving the Lord, and next thing you know, their spiritual life gets waning, and the next thing you know, the devil moves in, and all hell breaks loose. How many know if you don't put the Lord first, you're in trouble? Not because I said it, but because Jesus said it. And so Paul said this. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's say that together. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Say it again. Do you believe that? I mean, the Bible's true. In fact, Paul said this, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money in itself is not the root of all evil, but the love of money. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up in that same mindset of the world is more, more, more. listen to me, in the context of prison, Paul's chained to a Praetorian guard, and he said this. He said, I might not be able to do everything I want to do, and he said this, but I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. I've learned to be satisfied. How many times all week long have we gone around complaining maybe and whining about what we don't have instead of blessing God what we do have? I can't hear you. Come on now. God's been good to us. God's blessed us. And if we're not careful, we need a good old-fashioned spring cleaning because we've developed the heart of ungratefulness instead of gratitude to God. I'm telling you today, we ought to be on our faces and say, hallelujah, God, you sure been good to me. We've been blessed health. We've been blessed financially. Somebody talk to me. We've been blessed materially. We've been blessed with our families. We are a blessed people. Amen. We are blessed beyond measure. God's been good. And so often we take His blessing for granted. That's why I need a good old-fashioned spring cleaning. That's exactly why I need a good old-fashioned, and you do too, because I'm convinced you're just like me. Listen, you have two choices today. Here they are. Time for spring cleaning. Here's the two choices you've got and I got. One, watch this. One, you can either, and I can either, go forward, spring forward, and clean up the house. Go forward, spring forward by cleaning up the house, or go backwards by leaving it dirty. Now, you are the only one that's going to decide if you're going to leave it dirty. Are you going to leave the house dirty today? Are you going to leave your house dirty today? Or are you going to do some spring cleaning? Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. Good old-fashioned spring cleaning. God, I sure do need it. In Mark, chapter 11, if you turn and if you like to stand for the reading of the Word, you can. If you don't are not able, that's fine. You can sit. But I want to read from Mark, chapter 11, beginning in verse number 15. Mark, chapter 11, verse 15 following. You're very familiar with this passage. Many of you are. I'm telling you, God is going to speak to us today as He already has. He's already spoken you about some things in your life that you know need to go, and there's some things that you need to start hanging on to and returning to your first love and falling in love with Jesus again. Look at it. Mark chapter 11 verse 15. If you're there, say amen. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers. Note that, underline that. And the seats of them that sold doves, underline that. And would not suffer or allow that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house, underline that, my house should be called of all nations the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. This is the word of God. May God bless it to our heart today for His glory. Time for the spring cleaning. Father, now I confess I'm nothing, can do nothing but totally fail. But Lord, you're everything. It's all about you. And Father, these are your people. And I'm privileged, Father, to be called a pastor, a shepherd. And God, I don't know how to shepherd unless you, the great shepherd, shepherd the sheep. And Father, I just don't know how everybody else and what everybody else is going through. But Lord, I know there's a pull on me. And I'm so prone, Father God, to wander. Lord, to get in a state of not caring. Lord, to just leave my spiritual life and lacking and not vibrant and dynamic like you want it. Father God, we pray for a fresh spring cleaning in our hearts. Do the inside, Lord. Do the outside, Lord. Wash us clean today. And Father, we thank you now for every person that's here. Lord, zero in on us. Holy Ghost of God, descend in power. Lord, manifest your glory. We just ask for mercy, Father, upon this sin-sick nation. Lord, I thank you for the men and women serving in the military, but God, we have so, Lord, we have so gotten in trouble, God. We're in major trouble with you, and I see it, Lord, and we can see it, and God, we can't just sit back and be passive. Father, you stir up our hearts to be what we ought to be, and so I pray, precious Lord, revive me again. Stir our hearts again. Lord, quicken the word of God in our life again. Lord, help me to keep my eyes eyes on you and love you supremely more than anything else. Lord, we pray you'll tear down every idol that's in our heart today. Father, help us not to compare ourselves with everybody else. Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. I thank you, God, for the cleansing. I thank you, Father, for the restoration and reconciliation. I thank you, Father, for the filling of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we need that mighty infusion of divine delight from above, God, in order to, Father, operate as your children and to function in this chaotic and confused and messed up world. We just need you, Jesus. And we thank you now what you're doing and what you're going to do. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Cleanse me afresh, I pray. God, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Here is the deal, brother. Here's the deal, sister. There are two choices you've got. There's two choices I've got. One, we can go forward, spring forward. Can I tell you, God's got much more for you. You hadn't even begun to find out what God's got for you. You hadn't even begun to scratch the surface. You think God's finished with you? Do you think God can't do more with you? Do you think that God's got a divine purpose for you? Don't you want to fulfill God's purpose? Don't you want to be everything you can be for the Lord in these days? Don't you want to stand before God one day and by His grace hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Yes, it's about Him, and we lose sometimes, again, our passion. We lose our direction, our guidance in life. Listen to me. Sometimes, watch this, sometimes we got to have things to pump us up. They pump us up from season to season. They make us happy. If we have a three-day holiday or we have a vacation or something like that, there's nothing wrong about certain things making us happy. But when we live from vacation to vacation and 3 days off and this and that and the other, when that's the only thing that motivates us, guess what? We're going to stay discouraged a lot of times. I'm telling you, you can be encouraged in the Lord. Sports and certain sports of the season, why, that keeps us encouraged. And when that's not going on, it's like we've lost our best friend. I'm telling you, it's so easy to get things and lose focus of our passion and our relationship with Jesus. We're to love Him supremely, amen. Do you really love the Lord? Are you really concerned with Him and His work? Don't you want to fulfill God's purpose? Oh, I believe you do, or you wouldn't be here today. One, we can go forward. And I tell you, if you'll do business with God today, God is going to take you forward. You won't go forward without doing business with God. You might think you will, but you won't do it. God's word is true. God wants us to spring forward by cleaning up the house. You gonna leave the house dirty? You leave the house dirty and you're going to fall back. Hear me. Leave the house dirty, you're going to fall back. Spring forward by cleaning the house. Now Jesus shows up at the temple. Whether this was the first, the second time, whether He cleansed the temple two times is irrelevant at this point. The point is He cleansed the temple. And the point is He showed up. Watch this. He shows up at the temple. Guess what He sees? He goes to church. How many believe that church is important? Somebody says, "Well, I don't have to go to church in order to be a Christian." No, you don't. But if you're a Christian, you want to go to church. Because what the Lord loves, you ought to love. Now, you can make every excuse under the book, and I hear it all the time out in the community. In fact, this week somebody said, "You know, I work all this and 6 days a week and 5 days a week, and Sunday I'm just going to sleep in bed." Well, I'm glad that Jesus didn't say He's going to go to sleep when He was supposed to die on the cross. Come on, I can't hear you. I'm glad that one day He's coming back again. Listen, friend, I believe the Bible. I believe the Word of God is true. I believe what it says. Jesus showed up at the temple. Watch this now. He shows up. Guess what He finds? He finds, first of all, He sees some money changers. They says a table. Can you picture in your mind? There's some money changers sitting at the table. Why are they doing? What are they doing? The Word of God says they were money changers. Well, they didn't have the right amount of money over there in Jerusalem. People came from different parts of the world, and they came to Jerusalem during the Passover. Every child, male, 12 years old and up, was required to go and celebrate at the Passover. And so, what do? They stop by the money changing table. Why? To exchange their money for the kind of money they would need to buy an offering. When I went to South America, Guyana, I went to the store and I held up a $5 bill trying to buy something to eat. They said, "American, you can't buy over here in Guyana with American money. You got to exchange it for Guyana money." And that's what they were doing at the temple. They were exchanging their currency for the currency or the money that enabled them to buy sacrifice. It was required for them to have a sacrifice. Well, what's the problem? Why did Jesus get upset? Here's why I got upset. Those money changers, we're told by some historians, made as much as $9,000. $9,000 profit, putting in their pocket. Why? They were gouging the people. They were gouging and unjustly robbing from people. Jesus saw what was going on. I can tell you, Jesus sees what's going on in your life too. You can't hide it from God. You might try to hide it from your friends and your parents, but you can't hide it from God. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. We've learned how to camouflage. We've learned how to cover up our sin. And then when we get caught, we say we're sorry, but we really don't repent about it. Can I get an amen? Oh, y'all don't hear me today. I'm telling you, Jesus saw the money changers, and then he saw those selling doves. That was the sacrifice they had to buy. Well, what was the problem? Why did he get upset? They were just selling doves. They were selling animals for their sacrifice. Here's why he got upset. Alfred Edersheim rightly notes in one of his books the fact that those doves should have sold for $3, maybe $4. Guess how much they were getting for the doves? $5 plus some. They were gouging. They were greedy. They were covetous. And brother and sister, look at me. We live in a dog-eat-dog world, and the government is maybe not doing all that they can do. But listen, that gives me right, no right, and you no right at all to develop a covetous and greedy attitude. And that's our result. I don't know about y'all, but that's what I'm tempted to do. Can I get an amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Things seem not fair. Things don't seem right. Things seem unjustly. Why is this happening? Why are they getting this? And the next thing we want to do, we want to play God and take it in our own hands. Oh, that hit hard. I know. I love you. But so Jesus sees the money changers over there and the doves selling over here. Now, in the temple, the 20-year-old and up were required to pay a temple tax. Do you know taxes went all the way back to then? Amen. I mean, they paid, guess how much that normally generated? $75,000. This temple tax, they normally took in about $75,000 with a temple tax. How many like to pay taxes? Let me see your hand. Amen. Somebody said they believe in the red, white, and blue. You know where red, white, and blue came up, don't you? When you get your taxes statement in the mail, you turn red. When you start paying it, you turn white. And when you finally finish, you turn blue. Amen? Red, white, and blue. But really, and so $75,000, well, Jesus sees the, again, corruption that's going on. I'm glad our God knows what's going on. Watch what he does. What does he do? Does he just sweep it under the rug? He said, oh, that's just all right. No, he, watch this. He goes over there, and brother, I want you to know, and sister, I want you to know, that table's got all those money on it and got all the doves, and Jesus takes it, flips it over, throws it over. I can see the money as it scatters. He throws over the money-changing table. And guess what? Over there in John chapter 2, he's not happy about it. He's not finished. You know what he does? John 2 says this. He got a whip. Can you imagine? Does this sound like the meek and lowly lamb that you talk about and we sing about? This is the meek and lowly lamb Jesus. Hello. This is the other side of Jesus. Hello. This is his justness. This is his righteousness. This is his righteous indignation. Can I tell you, God's a holy God. And one day we'll stand before God and he's not going to wink at our sin. And we can't excuse our sin. And we can't excuse the fact that we hadn't been living for God. It's just not going to work. I'm telling you, Jesus, he drove those money. Get out of my house. Get out of my house. Get out of my house. Listen to me, young people, look at me. You think that Jesus, you show, you young people, watch this image of Jesus being some weakling, some wimp, some sissy. Why, most of the people that portray Jesus, he looks like just a little skinny wimp. I want you to know he was a strong man. Y'all hear me? He was a strong man. I don't know too many men that are walking the temple like that. Throw over the money changers. We're talking about hundreds of people. And then get out of here and drive them out. Note this principle. Strong men clean up the house. Weak men leave it dirty. Weak women leave it dirty. Strong men clean up the house. They don't care what anybody else thinks about. What's somebody going to think if I see me down at the altar? What's somebody going to think about me confessing my sin? It doesn't matter what somebody thinks. What matters is what God knows. And we got to get to the point where we don't care. We don't care about so-and-so sitting beside me, so-and-so sitting behind me. What we need to do is focus on the will of God and pleasing God and serving God and making a difference for Him. But some of you, it's been holding you back. Pride has. You've been wondering, well, what am I going to, what are people going to think? I go to the altar. They're going to think, man, I've committed murder. I don't care. I don't care. I want you to know Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You can leave the house dirty if you want to. You're going to fall back. You want to spring forward? Clean up the house. Our nation's in trouble. Our nation's in trouble. We are in a desperate need right now. Somebody sent me an email. I'm just quoting what they said. Listen, brother and sister, I see it, you see it. Some of you that have been down the road further than I have, you see the handwriting on the wall. You see our nation slipping further and further away from God, compromising with sin, giving the devil more ground. Doesn't it bother you, or have you just fallen asleep? Have you gotten used to the dark? Are you just caught up in your own world? I'm telling you, God's calling some men. God's saying, is there any Isaiahs in the crowd today? Are there any Elijahs that'll say, as far as Elijah said, how long halt you between the two opinions? Is there any Joshua's? As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Is there any Noah's? A sin-sick society and a solitary saint. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm glad, thank God, God's got some men and women. But if we're going to see this nation turn back to God, it's going to start at one heart at a time. One heart at a time. One family at a time. So goes the church, so goes the nation. Y'all missed it. I said, so goes the church, so goes the nation. I didn't say, so goes the White House, so goes the nation. I said, so goes the church. The doorstep to the church is where God Almighty is looking. Others are looking at the White House, but God says, the time for judgment has come for the coming to the house of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. God's looking for His people to repent. But a lot of God's people aren't repenting. We're getting caught up in the blame game. It's their fault. They're ones doing it. They're doing this and this problem here. And God's saying, meanwhile, your house is getting dirty. Your house is getting dirty. Dirty with self. Dirty with pride. Dirty with all kinds of junk. I know my house gets dirty. I got to clean it up. Amen. I got to have the God to clean it up. Somebody sent me this email. Speaking of America, food for thought. Whether you agree with it or not, I just thought I'd read it to you. Food for thought. By Junus P. Long. And he's talking about the country. He said this, if you can get arrested for hunting or fishing without a license, but not for being in the country illegally, you might live in a country founded by geniuses but run by idiots. If you can get your parents' permission to go on a field trip, take an aspirin in school, but not have your parents' permission to get an abortion, you might live in a country founded by geniuses but run by idiots. If the only school curriculum allowed to explain how we got here was evolution, but the government stops a $15 million construction project to keep a rare spider from evolving to extinction, you might live in a country founded by geniuses but run by idiots. If the government wants to ban stable, law-abiding citizens from owning gun magazines and weapons and some more rounds, but gives 20 F-16 fighter jets to the crazy Muslim leaders of Egypt, you might live in a country founded by geniuses but run by idiots. If the largest city in the United States, you can buy 2 16-ounce sodas, but not a 24-ounce soda, because 24 ounces of a sugary drink might make you fat, then you might live in a country founded by geniuses but run by idiots. Further, if an 80-year-old woman can be stripped and searched by the TSA, but a woman in a Muslim garb only subject to having her neck and head searched, you might live in a country founded by geniuses but run by idiots. I can't hear you. If a 7-year-old boy can be thrown out of school by saying his teacher's, quote, cute,
But hosting a sexual exploration of diversity class in grade school is perfectly acceptable. You might live in a country founded by geniuses but run by idiots. If hard work and success are met with higher taxes, more government intrusion, while not working is rewarded with EBT cards, WIC checks, Medicaid, subsidized housing, and free cell phones, you might live in a country founded by geniuses but run by idiots. If being stripped of the ability to defend ourselves makes you more safe, according to the government, you might live in a country founded by geniuses but run by idiots. Can I tell you something, whether you agree with that or not? I thought I'd read it, but here's the bottom line. Strong men clean up their house. Strong women clean up their house. Strong men do what Jesus did. And I believe this nation can be taken back to God one family at a time. If we look at our community, and our community is dying, going to hell. Doesn't that bother you? There's many young people. Two young people were just killed. I saw them in the paper. They had the celebration at Bruton Parker just a few weeks ago. I could go on. The list goes on. People are dying every day. And by and large, our community does not care about God or about the things of God. We are the people of God. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We've got the truth, and the truth has set us free. We ought to rise up, men of God and women of God, with the power of God, and go out in this community with the gospel of Christ and make a difference for God's glory. And you can do it if God will set a fire in you. Listen, springtime cleaning. There's a second choice you've got. First, you can go forward, spring forward by cleaning up the house. Or number two, you can go backwards by leaving it dirty. There are two reasons we leave it dirty. At least two. There's probably more. But let me just share with you two, okay? Two reasons. Why in the world would somebody leave their house dirty? Don't look at your neighbor, amen? Why in the world would somebody leave their house dirty? Why would somebody want their heart dirty? Why wouldn't somebody want to repent and get right with God? Why wouldn't somebody want to change? Why in the world would somebody leave their house dirty, knowing they can't be blessed of God, knowing they can't walk in the light as He is in the light, knowing they can't have the Lord's anointing on your life, leaving your house dirty? Number one, deception. That's right, deception. How many believe that even the very elect can be deceived? Jesus said in Matthew 24 that if you're not careful, friend, my brother and sister, if I'm not careful, I can be deceived. You can be deceived. You can be misled. You can be thinking you're doing right, but you're not really doing right. Watch this. Don't miss it. That crowd at the temple, don't you think they were thought they were doing right? I can't hear you. What about the Pharisees and the scribes? They thought they were doing right. Man, they studied their Bible. They went to the synagogue. They dotted every I. They crossed every T. They didn't pluck out a gray hair on Sabbath. They would not dare do anything that violated the law of God. They thought they were doing right, and they were doing wrong. My brother and sister, you and I can think we're doing right, and we're doing wrong. You can be deceived. You believe that? If you don't believe that, you're already deceived. You can be deceived. I can be deceived, misled. In fact, the Lord told us in the last days that's exactly how Satan is going to operate. Deceive you. Make you think that you're all right. Make you think that everything you're doing is good. Make you think that it's somebody else. They're the ones that need to get right with God and get us preoccupied with other things in our life. Deception. Can I give you an example of deception? I was deceived. I've been deceived. Let me tell you how I've been deceived. Back 6 months ago, September, I hurt my shoulder. And man, when I bent it this way, man, it just hurt. I said, well, I thought to myself, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to just stop bending it that way. And it's going to get better. Come on, I need some help up here. It's going to get better. If I stop doing that, it's going to get better. Why, that's my reasoning. That's my leaning on my own understanding. I'm just going to stop bending it that way where it hurts, and I'm just going to give it time to heal. I went to the doctor and the physical therapist. They said, that's the worst thing you can do. I thought it was the right thing to do. They said, what you got is frozen shoulder. And what you need to do is work that thing, work that. Don't just hold it there. In fact, they said what the weather doctor does to fix the problem is he'll put you to sleep. And then when you're asleep and you don't know what's going on, he'll grab your arm and crank it around and split and tear up all that scar tissue. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? But that's what they do in physical therapy. Here's what they said. The physical therapist told me this. No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. Can I tell you something in your Christian life, in your spiritual life? No pain, no gain. If we don't do business with God and say, God, it's me standing to prayer. My heart's not clean. If we don't really agonize with God and get before the Lord and do business as God the Holy Spirit shows us, sins of omission, sins of commission. No pain, no gain. We're deceived. We're walking in deception. Deception, number one. Exception, number two. There's two reasons. Exception. It's so easy. Listen, beloved, I love you. I love you. I really do. I was saying, Lord, I'd rather preach something else today. God just kept bringing me back here, kept bringing me back here, kept bringing me back here. And I said, but Lord, I'd really rather preach something. God says, no, this is what you want. I want you to share. I said, all right, Lord. I finally gave in and said, Lord, I will. You got to help me, Lord. You got to help me. I'm trusting to help me, Lord. And it's from me. It's from me. It's from me. God, I need it. I need it. What if you own 100 acres of land? Or let's just say 10 acres of land. And I wanted to buy 1 acre of land inside your 10 acres of land. And I get in that 1 acre of land, and I say, okay, this is my 1 acre of land. It's inside this 10 acres of land. I'll do what I want to in it. Think I'll just trash it up. Think I'll just make a mess over here. I got my 1 acre of land. I can do whatever I want to with it. And you say, man, you're making a mess. How many believe I'm making a mess? You got 10 acres of land, I got 1 acre of land, and man, it's messed up. It looks like an eyesore. You say, man, you got that thing looking like a mess. It's my acre. I can do whatever I want to with it. I bought it. I paid for it. Nothing you can do about it. Right? If I want to make a mess, I can. I think I'll just make a mess. And you say, man, I got to get you out of here. You're making a mess on my. It makes my property look bad. It's taking to depreciate my value, my property. I don't like this at all. Nothing you can do about it. It's my acre land. If I want to make a mess of it, I can. You'd be in a mess, wouldn't you? Or I'd be in a mess, however you look at it. Listen. Only you leave or I leave 1 acre of land for the devil, he'll make a mess in your life. And if you're not a Christian today, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus, I didn't say religion, I didn't say you go to church, I didn't say you believe up in your head. I said, have you ever repented? Have you ever said, God, I've been running my life doing my thing, and Lord, I'm sorry, I need a change of heart. Why, some of us, we're not careful. We can be deceived and thinking we're saved and thinking, I did. I was there. I sat in the church. I was baptized and all that. Some of you hadn't even been baptized and you're not living right, not doing right. I love you, but I got to tell you that. I'm telling that because we need an old-fashioned spring cleaning. And some of you have been saved. Many of you have. You know Jesus in the intimacy of a personal relationship. But some of us, watch this, some of us, we don't really mean to do it, but we're leaving the devil, a little ground in our mind. Little ground. We're leaving the devil, and the devil doesn't care where he can operate in you. He'll get a foothold, a toehold, into a stronghold, and if we don't get the devil out, he'll play havoc on our life. It's time to kick the devil out. Amen. It's time to say, devil, you're getting out of here. You're getting out. I'm not going to get angry and bitter. I might have had to go through some things in my life. Is there anybody here that's been through some stuff in your life? And the devil says, I can't believe you went through it. And the devil's trying to heap anger and bitterness and resentment. And there's some of us today that we've got to release some of that stuff, move on with God, spring forward by cleaning up the house. I'll close on this. You got one or two choices today, right now, in just a moment. One or two choices. Go forward, spring forward, by cleaning up your house, or go backwards by letting it stay dirty. What are you going to do? Jesus could have taken the easy route when he got to the temple. He said, this is going to cause too much controversy. I'm not going to turn over these money changers. I'm not going to make them leave. He had one or two choices. He'd rather please his father. Now, who you want to please today? Let's stand together.